North Rock Podcast.
We are having a graduation this morning, and our Echo students who have been with us for the last year, or some of them for 2 years, are graduating from the program, and we're going to celebrate and honor them with that, and we're going to hear from them. But to begin that whole process, I would like you to welcome with me the director of our Echo program, Debbie Morris.
Good morning. So glad all of you are here. I want to begin today first with a big thank you. You're going to get to meet, you probably think you know them, but you're going to get to see them in a whole new light today. But I want to thank the leadership of North Rock Church for their support and their love and encouragement as the Echo program has been in existence, and especially for me in the last 2 years as I've been the director. I want to thank our host home families who have opened up their home and loved these students and encouraged them, and probably at nights said some bad things about me as the kids have come home angry. And then I also want to thank you as a body, because I see that our Echo interns have grown very attached to all of you and to this congregation and this church and the ministry that goes on out of here. And that is a testimony to the way that you've received them and loved them and encouraged them and let them have messy growth in the midst of this time. So I'm often asked, what do Echo students do? Last night at the barbecue, the host home families kept going like, they're never home, they're never home. And if you're up here at the church, you may not see them very much. And so I get asked a lot, well, what are they doing? What are they doing? So I'm going to give you just a synopsis of what they've done in the last 2 years. They have worked 100 hours and moved 500,000 pounds of food for the Food Bank of the Rockies. They've fed over 1,500 people at the Denver Rescue Mission. They have provided over a ton of food to a local food bank. They spent 24 days on the mission field. They've worked 11 camps in 4 different states. They've completed 7 Life Pacific College classes. They've cleaned the church over 60 times. They started 2020, a young adult ministry here at North Rock. They assisted with 12 district trainings. They've served in children, youth, worship, hospitality, media, and CR ministry. They planned and served the Children's Christmas Play, the Children's Conference, 3 youth activities, the Youth Amazing Race, the Missions Banquet, the Youth Garage Sale, and all Team North Rock events. They've studied over 12 books together. They worked with Light of the Nations, serving refugees weekly. They've worked with Generation Kid and Urban Sidewalk Sunday School weekly. And they've had 1,100 hours of work for Event Force as fundraisers. They have, it was important to me, and Chad really supported it, that they not only see what happens in the church, but they are out and seeing other ministries and other ways to serve. And what I can tell you, having gone with them into each one of those, is they represent North Rock very well. We get compliments, we get support, I always have the most positive feedback from this group of students. And I'm very, very proud of what they've accomplished, and even more proud of who they've become. At this time, I would like to ask my graduates to join me on stage. Nate has warned me not to cry, so I've really been working on it. I have a massive headache because I can't cry. But I'm just going to introduce each one of them and tell you just a little bit about their journey. This is Matthew Rodriguez. And Matthew was easy to love when he showed up. And then we hit a really bumpy patch. And decisions had to make. I still loved him, but it was bumpy. And we both had to make decisions. And what I love is that we both prayed and were obedient. And because of that, you'll get to hear the work that God did in Matthew. And Matthew has felt led and will be continuing on with North Rock, working with both our ECHO program and with our youth next year. This is Devin Wilhelm. And when Devin walked in, he was distracted, is the word he used. He was just wired. He had so much energy. And he would talk really, really fast. And you know, I spent time as I got to meet them praying, going like, God, what am I supposed to do with each one? Because I don't believe in programs. I believe in ministry, and I believe that ministry is an overflow of what God's doing in us. And he said, I need Devin quiet. I want to speak to him. Okay. And so I began to be obedient to what he asked me. And very quickly, I asked Devin to do a couple of things. And very quickly, man, he started hearing. He started laying stuff down. We just completed a 38-day trip together in very close quarters. And every morning when I would get up to have my quiet time and I would walk upstairs or wherever I was going to have it, thinking that I was sneaking out and nobody knew, Devin was there because he seeks out quiet time and he's no longer distracted. I appreciate his obedience and his submission. And Devin will be headed to Hillsong in January. And then we have Nate. Nate Watts. Nate could be one of my own children. And from the moment he walked in, it was just like that. I don't know what happened, but I just knew from the time I met his family and had lunch with him, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. Because he could be my own child, there was no hiding who I truly was. He uses sarcasm. And so very quickly, I think I called out a lying spirit or something like the first day. but I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the way that God used Nate in my life to allow me to be fully who I am. And he has that way of doing things to people where you're just exposed when you're with him because he gets you so riled up. But the other part about Nate is, and you recognize this very quickly if you spend any amount of time with him, is that there is a depth and solidness to him that surpasses his years. I've told him a few times that he's like a beach ball, that he keeps us all riled up and we're batting things around, and then all of a sudden he'll go really deep, and we'll all kind of watch it go deep, and about the minute our mouths open, he goes, pow, and we're back into the craziness. But there's a real depth to him. And he wrestles things out. I like that he doesn't just take what I say and own it, but man, he wrestles with it and makes it his own. And Nate is called into youth ministry and has two or three churches who are talking to him for a position in the fall. And then there's our fair Julia. Julia Shook. And when Julia walked in, she was everyone's dream because nobody could outwork or outthink her. You know, there the first week, I would say, Ken, and I would say that word, and she would be 10 feet away yelling, what is it you want? What is it you want? I'm like, come back here. She just wanted to serve. And with her, I really felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, that's not what I've called her to do. She'll serve, but it'll be out of her overflow. There's great strength and a great heart and a compassion. And so watching God transform her, and you'll get to hear her testimony, watching God transform her to really living out of her overflow and being vulnerable has been such a blessing. But make no mistake about it, she can keep all of the boys in line. They fear her. and she's been a huge asset. This group of four, I want to say two things. They were willing to be vulnerable with God, and they were willing to be vulnerable with each other. And we have been together 2 years. I can probably count maybe four or five situations where we really had to have a come-to-Jesus session because emotions were running high. And they really have learned to be raw and real with each other, to support each other, to encourage each other, to correct each other. And I'm so thankful for the people that they are. I'm going to ask Andrew and Lori to join me on stage as I present to North Rock their 2016 Echo graduates. And they switched their order, so they're scrambling. Ready? Okay. Matthew Rodriguez. Devin Wilhelm. Nate Watts. And Julia Shook. And I forgot to mention that Julia is headed to Christ for the Nations in Dallas to continue her education. So they've all, it's second service. Lord only knows what'll happen. Thank you. Thank you for your love and support of them. And now I told you you're going to get to hear who they are. So I'm going to invite. It's second service. You don't know what'll come out of my mouth. I'm going to invite Jordan Vogel to kick us off as they do the sermon.
Hi. I'm Jordan, in case you didn't catch that. Today, I felt led to speak about the difference between compliance and obedience. And while I was preparing for this, I found an article by a woman named Lynn Forrest, and I think she put it really well. She says, "When we comply, we may follow the rules, but we will do so out of a place of duty, resentment, or fear. Obedience, on the other hand, is an act of freedom. Obedience is the spontaneous act of saying yes to someone that we believe in. To come into obedience means to align our will with someone we respect and trust wholeheartedly. And obedience cannot be forced. For the majority of my life, I was kind of like Julia was when she first came in. I would do. I just do everything anyone told me to do, everything my parents told me to do, everything the church told me to do, and everything I thought God was telling me to do. What I realized when I first came into Echo is that the thing motivating me to do those was fear. With my parents, I was afraid of confrontation. I was afraid of what they would think. And I was afraid of punishment. With the church, I was afraid of being judged. And with God, I was afraid of condemnation. The psalm goes, "When I am afraid, I trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust." So what I learned is that I needed to trust God to overcome the fear. And there were a few things I learned about trust. First of all, you cannot have a healthy relationship without trust. Second of all, trust is a choice. With every new challenge and every new assignment, you have to choose to trust God. And third, trust is a process. You have to continue to trust God with the little things. And as he proves himself faithful in the little things, you're able to trust him more and more with bigger things. Um, I'm not sure how many of you know this about me, but when I first came into Echo, I was so overwhelmed with fear that I couldn't do anything. Like, I could barely hold a conversation one-on-one with anyone, let alone speak in front of a community of people. Even a few weeks ago, I spoke at a camp, and you could hear the trembling in my voice as I spoke because I was so nervous and afraid. But through the process of learning to trust God, I've come to this place today, even, where I can trust him with this, with being able to speak in front of you. There are still times where my trust in him is challenged, especially during the times where my focus shifts towards things like growth rather than a relationship with him. But it is a process. And then I really want to finish this with a distinction between obedience and compliance. So compliance is doing things out of a motivation of fear, whereas obedience is doing things out of love and trust. 2 John 1:6 says, "This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love."
Hello, I'm Devin, if you didn't know. I just want to share a little story, kind of what God did. Jesus knows that there's way too much that he did in my life for me to, you know, tell you it all in one little short bit. But let's rewind back to my senior year. Jordan, I was the complete opposite. I didn't like authority, and I was disobedient to really anybody. I ended up getting involved in a lot of heavy stuff. I ended up doing a bunch of drugs and just kind of really messing my life up. Let's just put it that way. Anyways, I come out of my senior year, and I'm like, I need Jesus. That's the only thing I need. So I'm at camp, and I'm like, Lord, I know you're here, and I know you can hear me. Where do you want me to go? And Echo gave their little spiel bit, whatever. And for some reason, the image of Echo just kind of stuck in my head. So whenever I'd ask him, Lord, where do you want me to go? He'd come in my head. Lord, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? You get the idea? So I'm like, okay, I think I'm supposed to go to Echo. Filled out my application. Fast forward 2 months later, I'm finally here. And so I'm here, and it's glorious, and I'm loving it. I'm sober, and it's great. So I'm like, Jesus, I know you're here. I know you called me. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything for you. And he says, okay. Lay down electronic music. So that was very tough for me. Electronic music is my favorite type of genre of music. So it was very hard to lay it down. But once I got it down, I'm like, Lord, what else? What else you need me to do? And he said, lay down the drums. I really wanted to play at North Rock, God. Do you understand that? And he's like, I know, but lay it down. It's like, okay, that's what you want. What else, Lord? And he said, lay down TV, movies, video games, your computer. Don't go on YouTube. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. And it was very hard. Trust me, it was probably one of the most difficult things I ever done. But I laid them all down, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm here. What next? Fast forward a year later, and what I had found out was, first of all, I had gained something that I didn't have before, and that was Jesus. Probably the greatest gift of all. Amen? Seriously. Oh. Also, what I had realized, electronic music, yeah, it was my favorite type of genre, but I liked it too much. I put it way over Jesus, and that's a big no-no. I valued it way over Christ. I put him at the very bottom and electronic music at the very top. And it became who I was. It became my identity as who I thought I was that dubstep guy. Like if you need dubstep music or electronic music, I'm your guy. Like that's who I am, which is wrong. The drums. I loved playing the drums. You know, I'd play in youth and I'd get off that stage and people would be like, oh, you did such a good job. Oh my gosh. And I'd be like, oh, you know, thank you. It was all God. Thank you. But on the inside, I'm like, I know. Shh. You don't got to tell me twice. It puffed me up. It was where I got the people's approval. People accepted me. You're so good at it. You should do it all the time. And even when I came to North Rock, it was difficult because he said, lay it down. And, you know, people were asking me, when can you play? When can you play? I don't know because God told me to, and I'm going to listen to him. TV, movies, video games, whatever else, that was just distraction from hearing his voice. One thing that became very clear to me from the get-go was that my plans are not his plans, and his plans are better than mine. So I was like, Jesus, here I am. And he said to me, lay this stuff down because I have something to say to you. And I want to know what that was. So that was my motivation going into it. But like I said, the one thing I gained was Jesus. I had also found out that all the stuff that we have, you know, like cell phones, shoes, cars, whatever, houses, it's not really ours. It's ours to enjoy. Does that make sense? He gave it to us to enjoy, but it's not ours. It's his. But one thing that is ours that I love so much is Jesus. I have my Jesus. I'm going to share him with you guys, but you have your own. I got my Jesus. And most importantly, that he really just set me free from all that stuff. I'm no longer, you know, I don't identify myself as that dubstep guy. Like, I am a son of God. And I'm listening to my music, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, when's the next time you're going to, you know, let me lay this down? Well, not let me, but when are you going to make me lay it down again? And I'm just kind of waiting, but that's good, because he set me free from it all.
You know, so kind of what we're talking about is like is offering and sacrificing things. And we heard two great stories there from Devin and Jordan. And it's just cool to see these guys on stage. Jordan especially, like, dude, right on. And I want to talk about how your offerings can, like, look different, but it's cool, right? So there's a story in the book of Mark where Jesus is, like, chilling in the temple, and he's not flipping tables or anything. He's just chilling. And these people are coming through, and they're laying their offerings in the bucket, and there's people, they're, the Pharisees, they're giving, like, they're shelling out $100 bills, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. And then this little widow comes in, and she has two copper coins, which is not a lot, and she lays those in the bucket, and Jesus basically says, he's like, she gave more, right? She gave more. And why is that? Like, they could do math. Like those guys definitely gave more, right? No. The thing is the Pharisees gave from an abundance. They had enough money to do that. They could throw in, you know, they could throw in $100. Didn't matter to them. But this woman, all she had was two copper coins. That was literally all she had. And she said, hey, I got two copper coins. Here you go. Like, I don't know what to do with them, so I'm going to give them to you, right? And that's kind of where I was at, where it was similar to Devin, where I was at camp, and Echo was giving their little pitch, and I probably wasn't, I don't remember the words that they were saying. I just remember that they were like, hey, come to Echo, and I was like, cool. So I talked to Tyler Barnard. And he kind of convinced me to come. And that summer of camp was like the closest I'd ever been to God. Like, well, I'm a little closer now, but you know. But at the time, like, we were chilling every day. We were talking, and he would answer my prayers. And it was great, right? It's great. And I showed up at Echo like day one, and he just like didn't talk to me. And he didn't talk to me for, good Lord. I mean, he's only said a couple things. It's been like 2 years. And I was confused. I was like, wait. Like, why aren't you talking to me anymore? Like, that hurts. That's confusing. And
And I would ask him, like, almost every night, I would be like, are you going to talk to me? And nothing. And I joke with Devin, because Devin laid all this stuff down. And, dude, I could hear God talking to Devin. That's how loud it was. And I would joke with Devin. I was like, Devin, you could pray for green lights on the way to church, and they would all be green. And I can't even get God to say, like, what's up, dude? And that hurt me a lot. Like, and I was at a very low place where there was, like, a good week in my first year of Echo where I didn't believe in God. Like, I was like, no way, man. Like, I'm going to quit Echo and, like, screw this whole God thing, right? It was frustrating. And, but of course, I came to my senses, you know. I knew who God was deep down, even though it wasn't coming out. And what I realized was I was leaning on my knowledge and my comfort, right, instead of his. And so what I had to do was I had to sacrifice that. I had to say, God, and he didn't answer. I had to say, God, I don't know anything, and you know everything. So I'm just going to trust that you're going to do something, right? And yet again, he still didn't answer me, but he answered it. You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is our offerings can look different a lot of the times. Me and Devin's looked a lot different, but here we are at the same place on the same stage. Matthew 2, Julia, we all looked a little different. We all looked a little, it was all different, but that's okay. And we're here today standing together. And so here's Julia.
As you probably know by now, I'm Julia, and I'm graduating today. And this morning, I want to talk to you about sacrifice and offering. So sacrifice, as I was studying it out, it was always done within the context of worship. In the Psalms, it says, I will freely sacrifice as I give thanks to you because you are good. And so in the New Testament, it says, we're to make our bodies a living sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to God. But when it says our bodies, it's not just talking about raising our hands up in church, which is a good thing. But it's talking about our soul, our mind, our strength, everything within us. And so for me, God had to teach me how to do that, how to sacrifice. And so my sacrifice was knowledge and control. My heart coming into Echo and in high school was like a walled city. Control, that was my weapon. I could go against anything if I could control it. And knowledge, it was the wall around my heart. So the truth of God could come past my control and could try to touch my heart to transform it. But the knowledge, my knowledge was a barricade. It could ooh and ah at the truth of God, but it could never touch my heart. So I was empty. But coming into Echo, God repeatedly told me to rest. Rest, rest. And I told God I wasn't tired and I didn't want a nap. But he wanted me to rest from knowledge. He wanted me to rest from trying to control everything. And so as I let those walls down, as I let control go, the truth of God was able to start transforming me. I was able to be transformed because I was able to sacrifice those things. And that sacrifice didn't come from just laying them down. It came from a heart of obedience. You can sacrifice and not obey, but you can't obey and not sacrifice. An obedient heart is what makes the sacrifice pleasing and acceptable to God. And Jesus even had to do this going into the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked his father, he's like, Dad, is there any other way for this to happen other than me dying on the cross? He went in there with a heart of obedience and he had to sacrifice his own will. And you see that in the next phrase when he says, not my will, but yours be done. And so we're commanded to obey God, But I learned to love him too, deeper and greater than ever before. Because what God says is, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So through a heart of obedience, I was able to love him.
Hey, everybody. I'm Matthew, for some of you guys who don't know me. Let's get sentimental. I'm going to talk to you guys about offering today. I feel like God laid it on my heart to talk to you about my offering, what it was and what it is now. So offerings, they're cool because it's through offering that this whole thing begins, right? Say, God, I offer up my life to you. Here, have it. And I remember the day I gave my life to God. It was so great. It was at a youth camp. Hurrah for youth camps. I went to camp with a whole other thing on my mind. I was persuaded by other things to go. But I went. And God got a hold of me there. I gave my life to the Lord one night. And it was my offering. I said, God, here it is. What now? It was great. It was amazing. And I remember leaving, and I remember entering back into the atmosphere, the world in which I came from, and things began to gnaw and pull for my attention again. And I remember looking back now, standing on this stage, and there was something distinct that happened. Was that I let God be my savior, but I didn't let him keep me safe. There was things that I just couldn't let go of. And so I began to rely on my strengths. At a young age, I was called to provide for myself. I was called to do for myself. I was called to just handle me, right? And so I did. And you know what? Growing up, I did it well. And I was pretty confident in the things that I could do. And so walking this Christian walk, that became my offering, my strengths. Everything that I can do daily, I, in my mind, I picture it like this. I get up out of my bed and I walk down this path, and then there's an altar there, and I showed up with all this stuff in my hands, my talents, my words, everything, the way I dressed, haircuts, like cars, everything. Like, I was like, all right, here I am. Aren't you pleased? I didn't quite ever. God, he loves me. And he's a good God. So yeah, he was pleased. But there was something in my heart that wasn't quite clicking. It wasn't quite fulfilling. But then I would look around when I was carrying my offering to God. Every morning, everything that I could do, made sure I brushed my teeth and combed my hair. Hey, Lord. But then I realized that other people liked that. They loved it. They loved it. And so I began to draw strength from that. I began to draw value from that. I began to draw identity from that. And so what happened was I created this Photoshop version of Matthew, and I put him out there. And he received all the love. He got it. I mean, he received all the love. He received all the acceptance. He received all the awards. He received it. And then I began to notice that the person behind it was hurting. So the very thing, the very, very thing that I drew life from, the very thing that I drew all my value from was my prison. And day after day, I would get up. And it's all I knew how to do. All I knew how to do was comb my hair, brush my teeth. God, here I am. My strengths, the things that I can do. I'm walking towards you. Here's what I got. And I began to realize the reality that it wasn't pleasing to God began to sink in, and it began to set in deep. And so I would continue to grab these things, my strengths, everything that I was, take it to him. It wasn't pleasing, but it was pleasing to everybody else. That was my life. And so I was dead, but I was getting life from those things, and I didn't know how to come back out. I didn't know. All I knew how to do was please. All I knew how to do was woo. All I knew how to do was win you over. That's all I knew how to do. Meanwhile, Photoshop Matthew was getting everything that I needed, the very thing that brought me life. And so there I was, hurt and broken, and nobody knew it. And then it wasn't until one morning, a series of events happened in my life, and it caused me to wake up the next day and show up to the altar empty-handed. It caused me to show up with nothing. And the whole time I'm thinking, God, is this going to be good? So things began to be stripped away. The things that brought me comfort, and specifically three things that God spoke to me. And he said, it's your relationships, it's your responsibilities. Those are the things that I want. And I didn't want to give it to him because those were mine. I controlled those. They brought me comfort. I controlled my own destiny. And that's what brought me comfort. And I showed up to the altar empty-handed one day. Just me. Nothing. I'm not hiding my shame anymore. I'm not hiding the fear of rejection anymore. God, this is it. This is it. Empty-handed, nothing. Just me. Just me. And I want to share with you guys a scripture. In Romans 10, it says this. It says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The Bible talks about our tongue, you know, has the power to breathe life, has the power to or to bring death, right? When I showed up empty-handed, all I had was the words on my lips, Jesus, you are Lord. He was my Savior, but in order for God to keep you safe, is for him to become your Lord of your life. That means every decision. It means everything you think about, you bring it to the altar. Not my strengths. He gave me those, you know, and he uses those. But it wasn't until I acknowledged my weakness, my longing, my needing for him. It wasn't until I did that that things became a lot different. It was a sacrifice whole and pleasing to God. I didn't bring anything. I just brought me. Just me. And whether you like it or not, if you're sitting in this church today, your strengths and your weaknesses are you. All of it. All of it is you, and that is a sacrifice whole and pleasing to God. That is the beginning. You bringing you. You are the best thing you can offer to him. Just you. Nothing else. Nothing else. And then he takes that, he empowers that, and then he uses that in mighty ways. Ways like you won't even ever, you can't imagine these ways. And it's just you. Is that not blowing someone's mind today? It's just you, just you. And that's enough. And that is whole and pleasing to God, not just your strengths. And whenever I brought that to the Lord, I was able to become who he was calling me to be. Because who he's calling me to be, one, is me. And then he uses the weaknesses. He uses the things that I am ashamed of. He uses the hiding. He uses all of it, and he redeems it because he is the Redeemer. Right? He is. That's the God we serve. He'll redeem you. And it says this, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For it is your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. And anyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. When I brought myself to the altar that day, just me, nothing else. Not the haircut, not the car, not the girl, nothing. It was just me. And that was hard for me because that was my identity. No one knew that. I was inwardly defiant and outwardly obedient. I could trick you from a mile away. And it was that day I brought myself, just me, to the altar. You know what? I wasn't put to shame. You know why? Because God is good. He was pleased with me, and I felt his pleasure for the first time in a long time. And when we do that, he's pleased with us. Just us, everything, your weakness, everything, not what you can do, not what you can say, not what you're in charge of, not a position, not a title, none of that. It's garbage. He wants you. Just you. And that's freedom. That's freedom. You want to walk in freedom, that's how you do it. I want to ask the worship team to come up. And then I want to ask the Echo students to come up too. Just spread yourselves on the altar here. There's no condemnation whenever you expose yourself to God. And he knows. And that was the hardest part for me. It's because there came a point where I knew that he wasn't pleased. But I couldn't get away from drawing my value and my life from what others thought about me. I couldn't get away from it. I was too far. I was too in deep. I needed something, and I didn't know what it was. But whenever I exposed myself to God, I put everything out there for everyone to see. You know what? This is me. And standing on this stage right now, yeah, I am an emotional guy. That is who I am. I was raised to be tough, and sometimes I had to be, but it's not me. It's not me. This is me. This is me. This is my big coming out, and God's asking you to do the same thing too, because there's things in all of us, man. There's things in all of us that are causing us to bring something that is not whole and pleasing to God. And I'll tell you, you show up empty-handed and just bring you, the you that you know, right? Not the you that other people know. And maybe there's people in your life who do know you, but it's not supposed to be a secret. It's supposed to be a gift. And God uses it as a gift to the people around you. He uses it as a gift to the people in your community. He uses it as a gift to your family, to your friends. My relationships, my friendships, the way I do ministry, the way I present myself in front of you will never be the same. Never. You know why? Because when I exposed myself to God, I was persuaded by him. He says, this is what I'm talking about right here. This is the one I want to use. This is the one I'm going to use. This is the one that's powerful. This is the one that's... Somebody needs a divine persuasion today. And because of what God said to me, and because of what I received, I didn't receive condemnation. I didn't receive shame. I didn't receive that from him. I received open arms and love and grace. A man who was afraid and ashamed of himself and who hid everything bad that he did. This man has been set free. And this is it. This is all I got. Nothing special. No haircut. No car. No nothing. It's just me. And that's enough. And that is what God's going to use. And that is what is pleasing to him. And I don't want to walk outside anything that it's not pleasing to him. I really don't. I've been persuaded by him, a divine persuasion, and I'll never walk away. I'll never go back, because I experienced the depth of his love. I've experienced who he is, his character. I've experienced it, and there's a certain depth that when you go down there, there's no coming back, and it's amazing, and it's wonderful, and it's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom. That's the offering that we bring. The reason why our salvation experience is so memorable in your mind is because you chose for one day in your life to be exposed to him. All of you. He's always going to bring all of him. He always will. All of you. That's what he wants. So today, if that's you, you want to bring all of you to the altar, whether you're saved right now already or not, if this is your first time, he wants all of you. And that's truth. All of it. All of it, because it's whole and it's pleasing to him. So if that's you, I encourage you and challenge you to take that step. Expose yourself before the God who loves us. Because we can know about him, but to be persuaded by him is to know him. fully and know him deeply. So today, if that's you, this altar is open. And we want to pray with you and we want to celebrate with you today.
Who they were outweighs what they've done. God's been faithful. They walk the walk. They live the life. It's not always pretty, but they're doing it. And I'm going to end with these words to what I lovingly call my echo dumplings. Mm-hmm. And it's Philippians 2, 12 through 18. And I'm going to ask the leadership of the church to come up and surround yourself. And I want to read this scripture. And then I want us to pray. Pray for their next steps. Pray for a sealing work in their lives and in their hearts. Pray for a boldness. Pray for clarity and direction. In Philippians it says, therefore, my dear friends, I just lost it. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I did not run the race in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice. Father, we're thankful for our time with them. We're thankful for you allowing us to be a part of this journey, this part of their journey. We give them back to you, Father God, because you will lead them and guide them. Your spirit will make them bold, Father God, and courageous. I come right now and I just ask that in each one of them, that work is sealed, Father God, and that this will be the beginning. That we will be marveling over the harvest that they bring forth for years to come. Thank you for who they are. Thank you for who you've created them to be. Bless them and honor them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So let's, we usually close with a blessing, and usually I pray a blessing over you, but I want you to pray a blessing over them with me. Will you extend your hands over them? And we'll pray a traditional blessing because that's how I do what I do, right? So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen? Amen. Hey, friends, go in peace. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.